now? Good. good morning, everyone. I've just realised I haven't got an order of service, so if someone could come down to the front with one for me. Oh, only one of you. Thank you very much. Thank you. A lot of things going on this morning. A huge thank you to everyone who helped clean the church halls and tidy the gardens during the summer. I don't know if you've looked, but the gardens are looking fantastic. And the halls, it's less obvious because we're not in them so much, but they're looking really clean as well. I got a lovely surprise yesterday. I had come down meaning to defrost the fridge in the kitchen to discover it had already been done. So that's lovely when things like that happen in a church. So all of you who may remain anonymous, thank you very, very much. Most of the other intimations are as printed. In addition to that, we're having a very brief Kirk Session meeting. I think we've got round all the elders who are in church today. A very brief Kirk Session meeting at the end of the service to speak about, there's some funding become available at very short notice. And as a community, all the different groups working together are trying to put in a bid for some funding, but it's all very last minute. So we want to just tell all the elders what's going on. And I've got a poster to put up, which Elizabeth Cleland sent out. The Divine Healing Fellowship of Scotland, which, as you know, is based at Brayhead House, are having a conference on Saturday, the 7th of September, from 10 till 4, and their guest speaker is the Reverend Kenny Borthwick. Now, I've heard Kenny speak a few times, and he's just amazing, well worth hearing. So tickets are £25, which includes lunch. And the space is limited, so if you want to go, please phone and book fairly soon. I'll take that up to the back at the end of the service for anyone who's interested. I've got a postcard. I love getting postcards, especially the ones that are handed in. To all members of Forth St. Paul's Parish Church, dear friends, our outing today, which was yesterday, took us to the National Mining Museum at Newton Grange, where we saw old workings of this mine and heard many interesting tales and stories about miners of bygone days. A grand day out in this award-winning visitor attraction, and we all enjoyed high tea before we returned home, from members and friends of Brayhead Lunch and Leisure Club. Lovely, thank you very, very much for that. That's just super. We are here to worship God. God is love. We are all God's beloved children. We are only able to love one another because God first loved us. And His love is a perfect love which drives out all fear. Our psalm to start the service today is selected verses from Psalm 85. You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Amen. So the mixture of sun and rain is certainly bringing life in all its fullness into our woods and fields and gardens. So let's stand and sing our first hymn, number 181, For the Beauty of the Earth. Hymn 181. As you may have noticed, we had a wedding in church yesterday, a joyous occasion where two young people, Sarah, Jim and Janet's granddaughter, and Dean became husband and wife. And of course, marriage is a symbol of the union of Christ and his church. And it suddenly struck me, the singing's wonderful this morning, but you know, yesterday everybody was sitting in the front pews and not many in the back pews. And yet this morning it's the other way around. Just thought I would point that out. I've got a story for you this morning, one that I realise I first heard it in 2002, and I first used it in worship in 2009 when I was a student. But I hope you'll agree, I think it stands the test of time. It's called My Quilt. As I faced my Maker at the Last Judgment, I knelt before the Lord along with all the other souls. Before each of us laid our lives, like the squares of a quilt in many piles. An angel sat before each of us, sewing our quilt squares together into a tapestry that is our life. But as my angel took each piece of cloth off the pile, I noticed how ragged and empty each of my squares was. They were filled with giant holes. Each square was labelled with a part of my life that had been difficult, the challenges and temptations I was faced with in everyday life. I saw hardships that I endured, which were the largest holes of all. I glanced around me. Nobody else had such squares. Other than a tiny hole here and there, the other tapestries were filled with rich colour and the bright hues of worldly fortune. I gazed upon my own life and was disheartened. My angel was sewing the ragged pieces of cloth together, threadbare and empty, like binding air. Finally, the time came where each life was to be displayed, held up to the light, the scrutiny of truth. The others rose, each in turn holding up their tapestries, so filled their lives had been. My angel looked at me and nodded for me to rise. My gaze dropped to the ground in shame. I hadn't had all the earthly fortunes. I had love in my life and laughter, but there had also been trials of illness and death and false accusations that took from me my world as I knew it. I had to start over many times. I often struggled with the temptation to quit, only to somehow muster the strength to pick up and begin again. I spent many nights on my knees in prayer, asking for help and guidance in my life. I had often been held up to ridicule, which I endured painfully, each time offering it up to the Father in hopes that I would not melt within my skin beneath the judgmental gaze of those who unfairly judged me. And now I had to face the truth. My life was what it was, and I had to accept it for what it was. I rose and slowly lifted the combined squares of my life to the light. An awe-filled gasp filled the air. I gazed around at the others who stared at me with wide eyes. Then I looked upon the tapestry before me. Light flooded through the many holes, creating an image, the face of Christ. Then our Lord stood before me with warmth and love in his eyes. He said, "Every time you gave over your life to me, it became my life, my hardships, and my struggles. Each point of light in your life is when you stepped aside and let me shine through until there was more of me than there was of you." So may all our quilts be threadbare and worn, allowing Christ to shine through. Let's pray. Loving, living God, we so often look at others and judge them, either judging them better and more fortunate than us, or judging them unworthy and less than us. But Lord, as you teach us to pray, you open our hearts and minds to let go of judgment, to see every person as you see them, as your beloved children, each and every one of them loved by you. So Lord, help us as we look at our lives to see that the good bits and the difficult, challenging bits are all part of our tapestries, and that often it's the most difficult bits, the holes through which your light has shone through, which make our lives all the more beautiful. So, Lord, as you taught us how to pray, let us say together the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive those as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A service about prayer wouldn't be complete without singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, hymn 547. I'm delighted that as a church, the Church of Scotland is putting more and more emphasis on prayer. And for a few years now, they've been producing Pray Now booklets each year with different prayers and devotions. This one's called Together We Pray 2018. And as I was looking through it, looking for inspiration for this morning, I came across a beautiful reflection on the sound of prayer. So it's maybe not actually a prayer, but I'd like to read it. I found it extremely powerful. It begins with the reading from Matthew 6, verse 7. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. The 19th century Scottish poet and hymn writer James Montgomery begins his hymn, which we'll sing later, on prayer with this stanza. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. If there is a naturalness to prayer, the soul's sincere desire, why do we concentrate on the uttered part and struggle with the unexpressed prayers? In Romans 8 and verse 26, Paul says this, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." These sighs too deep for words can also be our prayers. Mahatma Gandhi tells us, "Prayer is not asking. It is a longing of the soul. It is the daily admission of one's weakness." There is often no way to express our deep longings, but when we believe praying is only about words, then what is unexpressed in us is considered valueless. Our prayers are dry. We cry and feel we have failed. This is written by Tom Gordon, by the way, and he continues, "I helped care for John Levering when he was dying. There are times, this profoundly spiritual man told me, when I have no words to bring me close to God in prayer. But I do not despair, for I know many people will be praying not only for me, but will be praying my prayers for me. In my wordless silences, my prayers will yet be heard." Weighed down by the burden of getting the words right, we can miss the longings of our soul. Silence for Gandhi and John Levering wasn't failure, but being open to a deep awareness of the longings within them, which can lead to true communion with God. Jesus taught his disciples that when prayers are in vain repetitions and we are babbling like pagans, then they have no value. Our words have lost their heart. Better then, suggests John Bunyan, to have a heart without words.
Among the Gentiles, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully matured in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully worked for me. Luke chapter 10, 38-42. At the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. If Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen.
Thank you, Ruby. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Our hymn before the sermon really echoes the beginning of that reading from Colossians, speaking about how amazing God is. It's hymn 246, but we'll sing it to the tune Lord of the Years, which can be found at number 159 in the hymn books. So that's words at 246, and tune if you want to follow the music at 159. You're in great singing voice today. That's lovely. It's once I come up into the pulpit, you really get the volume of everyone singing together. It's beautiful. Thank you. Let's come before God in prayer. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Continue in faith. When I read the story of Martha and Mary, I wonder what it would be like if I was Martha. So I let my imagination go wild, and this is what I heard Jesus say to me. Elspeth, Elspeth, you are worried and upset about so many things. The pastoral care of our parish, the necessity to look after our employees and volunteers, the work of outreach, the need to maintain and improve the buildings, and so much more. Yet really, only one thing is needed. You know that, Elspeth, don't you? When you learn to be still and know that I am God, when you learn to really listen, to allow me to fill you with my love and to direct all your energies, then everything else will fall into place. Elspeth, Elspeth, take time to be like Mary. Sit at my feet, listen and learn. Then you will know how to teach and preach. Then all you do will arise out of our relationship. It reminded me that every time that I feel in need of refreshment and I go either on holiday or away on retreat with hundreds of questions in my head, I always end up with the one answer being God saying, I love you. And that's really all that matters. So I don't think that Jesus' tone with Martha was critical. I think he was understanding and caring, but he was making an important point. We are human beings. We have to learn how to be before we can do. The story that immediately precedes this reading today is the parable of the Good Samaritan, which ends with Jesus' words, go and do likewise, emphasizing the need also to do. As one commentator pointed out, the story of the Good Samaritan teaches us to love our neighbors, and today's story of Martha and Mary teaches us to love God. I think it's important to remember that hospitality was and still is very important in the Arab world. So Martha was doing the correct thing by providing hospitality. In fact, when I spoke about this on Friday night, one person said, well, if she hadn't, nobody would have got anything to eat and drink. While Mary was the one who was breaking the rules. By sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening and learning, which was a place usually reserved for men. But what makes all the difference is the context. Because this was no ordinary guest who came into Martha and Mary's home. This was Jesus. I'm not sure if Martha recognized that, because she asked him, don't you care? And then tried to tell him what to do. Tell Martha to help me. Let's listen again to Paul's words about who Jesus is. The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. I wonder if Martha realized that. I wonder if we do. That Jesus Christ has supremacy over everything, including our busyness, our desire to criticize others or judge ourselves, our fears, our doubts, our worries, everything. And this is what made all the difference that day in Bethany. If their guest had been almost anyone else, Martha would, in some ways at least, have been in the right. But she failed, as we often do, to recognize just who Jesus is. As we live our lives as Christians, seeking to follow Jesus and to obey the two most important commandments, to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, we have to learn to always remember that Jesus has supremacy over everything. Today, it's more difficult than ever. We live in an age when the church finds itself as a minority group in the wider society. And we're living through a time of political chaos and change, through the terror of climate change. So we need this powerful message of hope more than ever before. By accepting Christ into our lives, into our hearts, God takes all our brokenness and makes us whole and holy, without blemish and free from accusation, as long as we continue in faith. We can be like that ruby. Our scratches, our wounds, our damaged bits can be made beautiful in Christ. When we learn to be like Mary, to take time every day to sit still and listen to Jesus, to learn from him, then everything we do and say will be flavored with his love. We need to continue in faith to find and keep a healthy balance between doing and being, between Martha and Mary. I have a friend, part of the online meditation community, who said a wonderful thing one time. He said his aim in life was to be so filled with God's love that whatever squeezed him, whether good or bad, the only thing that would ever come out is love. That's my aim too. So we need to continue in faith to ensure that in everything we acknowledge the supremacy of Christ Jesus. We need to continue in faith so that the glory of God, which is Christ in us, might shine out in our society as lights in a dark place. We have the most wonderful message of hope for the whole world. I turn to the message, and this is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of some of today's verses from Colossians. This is what Eugene wrote, that Jesus was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. And this is the bit I love most. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe. People and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death. Continuing in faith, allowing Christ to touch our hearts and change us, is so much more important than simply being seen to come to church on a Sunday. Continuing in faith, we can each become an agent of God's will being done on earth, of the whole world being fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies. Amen. Let's continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. Let's pray. Loving, living God, as we recognize your supremacy in everything, we give you thanks for everything. We thank you that we have the freedom to come here and worship you whenever we want. And so it is with grateful, joyful hearts that we bring these our offerings and ask you to use them along with our worship, our prayers, and our lives for the growth of your kingdom, here and forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Well, speaking about continuing in faith, I couldn't choose any other hymn, really, could I, other than Look Forward in Faith, number 237 in the hymn books.
Thank you.
Let's come before God in prayer. Loving, living God, for your love for us, warm and brooding, which has awakened us to birth and opened our eyes to the wonder and beauty of creation, we give you thanks. For your love for us, wild and freeing, which has awakened us to the energy of creation, to the sap that flows, the blood that pulses, the heart that sings, we give you thanks. For your love for us, compassionate and patient, which has carried us through our pain, wept beside us, and waited with us in our confusion, we give you thanks. For your love for us, strong and challenging, which has called us to take risks for you, asked the best in us, and shown us how to serve, we give you thanks. Loving, living God, we come to celebrate that you are present deep within us and at the heart of all life. Help us to continue in faith, open to receiving and sharing your abundant, unconditional love. Open to allowing your light to shine from within us. Open to allowing your grace and peace to transform us. And Lord, for the gift of prayer, we give you thanks. And now, in a time of silence, we name all those people and situations that are resting heavily in our hearts and minds today. Lord, we thank you that in the stillness we can hear your voice, welcoming our prayers, inviting us to hand them over to you, to let go and let God. Lord, in all your mercy, grant us your peace. Amen. Our closing hymn to raise the roof, I hope, is hymn 129, The Lord is King, hymn 129. So now, as we go out into the world, into the week ahead, let us continue in faith and be beacons of light in a world of darkness. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us all today and forevermore. Loving, living Lord, we thank you that you hear all our prayers, spoken and unspoken, that you are always present with us, in the midst of noise as well as in the silence, and that your love binds us all together in unity, so that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Just before we sing our final hymn, number 710, I Have a Dream, I would invite you all, one of the best ways of getting to know each other is to have a cuppa together. And we're blessed that we have a small team who organize a cuppa before and after our services every Sunday. So even if you haven't done it before, why not stop behind today and have a cuppa and chat with somebody that you don't know all that well, or someone you'd like to know a bit better? I have a dream of this church being even more united than it already is. So let's sing I Have a Dream, hymn 710. as we go out into the week ahead, let's remember to keep praying every day. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us all, today and forevermore. Amen. Noon. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In his name and for his sake. Amen. I come with joy, a child of God. Hymn 656 is our hymn leading into Holy Communion. What we do here, we do because it is Jesus' will. For he it was who once in an upstairs room sat at a meal with his disciples. During the meal, he took bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and said to his disciples, "This is my body. It is given for you. Do this to remember me." Later in the meal, he took a cup of wine, and after he had given thanks, he said, "In this cup is the new relationship with God, made possible because of my death. Drink it, all of you, to remember me." So we will do as Jesus did. We take this bread and this wine, the produce of the earth and the work of human hands, through which Jesus has promised to make himself known. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us follow his example. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give God thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, for you are the one from whom we came and the one to whom we will return. You conceived the universe, wove the world together, and hold all life in your hand. You watch us waking or sleeping. You keep every tear that we shed. You hear every prayer we make. You know both our best and our worst, and you will not let us go. So with rain, wind, and sunshine, with all that moves in time with its maker, we praise you. With angels and archangels, with the saints from long ago, with our loved ones who are gathered around your heavenly table, we praise you. With the church throughout the world, Orthodox and Lutheran, Catholic and Reformed, all who love Jesus and honor his name, we praise you, singing the hymn of your everlasting glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Yes, blessed is he who was born among us incognito, who grew up without privilege or status, who walked the way to heaven through the back streets of this world, who told the deepest truths in ordinary language, who touched and healed, blessed and disturbed without fear or favor, who showed inclusive love in all its unconditional glory, who for all this was crucified, died, and was buried, who for all this and for all of us rose again, who, though high in heaven, is present with us here and now. Blessed is he in all his love and beauty, God beyond holiness. As we do what Jesus did, let your spirit move among us to settle on this bread and this wine, that they become for us the body and blood of Christ. And let that same spirit stir our souls, so that as we share this sacrament, we may recognize